brunch. And so please come at 10 o'clock. There is a great speaker that we have who will be speaking, not for like 2 or 3 hours, but just for a few minutes. Pastor Troy Johnson is going to be coming with his family. He is a pastor of Jewel Lake Church, has just kind of started there a few months ago, and he's an amazing, amazing guy. So we want to kind of come and hear the special message, but also enjoy the time of fellowship on this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock right here. And so usually we do men's breakfast and women's breakfast separately. We are going to combine that. Children are welcome. You young people are welcome. Everybody's welcome. So please come. We are going to have a great, great time. If you want to bring some dessert or something, that's okay. But most of the food will be provided there. And so we are going to have a great time. So I'm excited today to kind of continue our sermon series, Life Hurts and God Heals. And last week we talked about the amazing idea that we want to push God away from our life, but God loves us so much, and it is important for us to let him love us, because we cannot handle the pain and the hurt that is there in our life all by ourselves. And it is important that the love of God is accepted by us, and we should open ourselves and let God love us. Many times we do not want to do that because of a variety of reasons that we think sometimes that we are going to lose on having fun in life, and we are going to lose our freedom and all those kinds of things. And we looked at that last week. If you missed that, you can always go back and listen to that sermon online. But today we want to kind of talk a little bit different in the series, Life Hurts and God Heals. And because God loves us so much that he wants to bring healing to us. And, you know, it's going to be amazing series for next few weeks. So plan to be here every Sunday. If you know somebody you can invite to the church, your friend or a family who are going through some hurts in their lives, maybe this will be very useful for them. So just invite them that they can take a journey along with you as we do this teaching series on Sundays. There are outlines that has been provided to you, so just follow along with that, and we are going to learn together and process this. So today, we are going to really, it's a very practical series, and we are going to really talk and process together about regrets. And we all have them. I have some regrets. You probably have some regrets, and you not probably, but you have those regrets, or probably you have processed those regrets in a right way. Some of us have processed them in a wrong ways, and things like that. Those past circumstances in our lives that we would give anything in our life to kind of change and make things right in our life. That something that we have done, that something that has happened in our life that really bothers us, and we are living in a regret in our life. And Jesus wants to help us release our regrets. He doesn't want us to live in a bondage and a regret and just live in that. He wants us to help us to release those regrets in our life. You know, I have regrets, all of us have regrets, and things I wish I could change in my life. And many times, you know, we want to just kind of hold on to those things in our life. But God has a plan for our life, and how does God want to handle them in our life? We want to look at that, you know. This morning, I want just to look at a few things about regrets, and there are 3 major things that we want to look at. You know, we want to look at usually how we handle the regrets in our lives. You know, what is the kind of approach we have when we face regrets in our lives. The second thing we want to talk about is how we ought to handle regrets in our lives, because it is important to know how do we approach those regrets in our lives, and then what God wants us to do with our regrets, because He is in charge. He wants to do amazing things in our lives, and He doesn't want us to live in a past and just tied up to things that we keep regretting. So we are going to process this in our life today. This is a great day to kind of do that. And so first thing is what we usually do with our regrets. So we have regrets, and something we have done, and something has bothered us, and not only one thing, but few things that has happened, and our mind just kind of goes in the past, and we just kind of say, oh, this happened, and I shouldn't have done that, or that happened, I shouldn't have done that, and that happened, and I feel awful about that, and I shouldn't have done that, and all those kinds of things. Usually what we do with those regrets is we bury our regrets. We try to just kind of bury them, take them and bury them in our heart, in our life, and that's what we usually try to do in our life. We suppress them, we minimize them, we rationalize them many times, and we say, oh, what I did wasn't really that bad, and it doesn't matter, and we just kind of rationalize them in our life. Or, you know, a lot of people, if they have regrets, if they feel guilty about something, you know, simple thing they do is many people just change their standards. They say, oh, that is okay. If I did something really bad, really wrong, it is okay. That was not that bad. So it is okay if I did something. You know, the 15th time we say the lie to ourselves, it is much easier, and we just kind of keep getting into that cycle of lying to ourselves about the things that have happened in our past. And we feel regret about that, and so that feeling is there, and we kind of, you know, keep lying to ourselves, and we do that enough time, and your conscience is going to get hardened, and we say, okay, it is okay, it's okay, but it is not okay. It is not, we can say it is not that bad, but it just keeps coming, and it keeps bothering you instead, you know, in spite of you suppressing them, in spite of you kind of, you know, burying them, it just keeps coming back and just keep bothering you. So we try to bury them harder, and we try to suppress them harder. And that is what we do. We want to cover it up. But here is what Bible says something about that. And we want to always go back to the Word of God and really learn about the realities of our life. And in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, it talks very clearly, and it says, and it is, you know, those references are given in your outline. And Living Bible Translation, it says, the man who refuses to admit its mistakes can never be successful. A man or a woman or a person who refuses to admit their mistakes can never be successful in their life. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. And so if we don't accept, if we refuse that it is our mistake and we do not want to accept it, we are never going to be successful in our life. And you know what, folks? You can't bury the regrets. You cannot suppress them. But we have to face the reality in our life. When there are regrets, we want to say, this is my regret. And this is what I did. And what I did was wrong, and I want to own up to that, and this is my mistake, and I want to accept that I have done that. We have to open it up and do that. But we, many times, that is what we do. We just kind of want to suppress it or bury it. But the Word of God says, you know, accept it. And make, you know, and if you don't do that, you're never going to be successful in your life. You're just going to be stuck in that cycle. The second thing we do is we blame others. We keep blaming others for our regrets, and that is a standard thing that we do. Psalm chapter 50, you know, Psalm 50 verse 20, the Good News translation says this, that you are ready to accuse your own brothers and find faults in them. That is our nature. We feel awful about our regrets. We feel awful about what we have done, and it just keeps bothering us, and we are driving quietly on the road and on the highway, probably. We have lots of time. Our mind just kind of goes in our past or a distant past, and suddenly things come to our mind. You know, these are the wrong things I have done, or these are the things happened in my life, and I feel so bad about that. And the simple thing we do, and what we do, we just blame somebody. It isn't my fault. It is because somebody has done something, and that is the reason I have to do those things, and it is somebody else's fault. So blame somebody else about your situation. Now, that's a tactic as old as creation. Right when the humans were introduced in this world, God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them everything what they needed. And they were just living just amazing life, and they ate that forbidden fruit that God says to them, don't touch this fruit. And you know, most of you know this story. And then Adam took it like a man, and he says, when God asked him, why did you disobey me? Why did you sin? And I asked you not to do this. You know, what did he do? Like a man, he says, oh, she asked me to do this. It is her fault. And because of her, I have to be in this situation. And so he blames somebody about what he has done himself, wrong things. He blamed it. And it is since then we know how to kind of blame other people. Not only that, he blames Eve, but he blames God, and he says, God, you gave me this woman. And if you would have not given me this woman, she would have not told me. So ultimately, it is God's fault that I have done this. And so we are very expert in blaming others for what we do or about our regrets. You know, it's like a scale, the balance scale. It is a guilt and it is a blame. It is a guilt and a blame. You know, this is how it works. There is a scale, and on one side it is marked guilt, and on other side it is marked blaming others. So we start feeling about, you know, how this is how we process regrets in our lives. When we think about the regrets that we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, small, big, you know, serious regrets that we face in our lives, you know, we start feeling guilty about it because we have not dealt with that. You know, we start feeling guilty and more guilty and more guilty. And so the one side of the scale is just to start heavier because we feel guilty about it. To balance it out, that guilt in our own capacity, we start blaming others. And so we start putting blame on the other scale, you know, other side of the scale, and then balance it out to kind of make us feel better about our guilt. And that is how the blame game really works in our life. And, you know, we always say the blame is you did this, Because of you, this happened. Because of you, this happened. If you would have not said this, I would have not done that. Or all those kind of rationalized blaming we keep doing in our life. It makes us feel better. And it makes us feel momentarily better. It cancels kind of a thing, our guilt on this side of the scale, if we keep blaming others. And we start trying to keep the balance. And then the blame game gets more and more, and then all of a sudden the guilt starts to come back again, and we start, you know, playing this game all the time in our life, and we are in a mess. Either we are blaming, or we are burying, or we are feeling the guilt about that, and it just keeps getting really bad in our life. That's how we approach our regrets many times. Or the other thing is, we beat ourselves. You know, we blame others, we try to bury it, and other approach of ourselves is we beat ourselves about it. You know, it just kind of, you know, I did this, you know, it is a self-punishment to ourselves, you know. It is we condemn ourselves and we criticize ourselves many times about what has happened. And we live in the past and, you know, we say things like this. Why was I so dumb to do this? And maybe we were. But we keep blaming. And I should have never done that. Maybe you shouldn't have never done that. But you keep playing that thing over and over and over in your mind. You know, we condemn ourselves. We deplore. We denounce ourselves and we try to pay for our own regrets ourselves, and we try to make it right, and things don't happen right. They're just where they are. You know, we start feeling guilty, we are beating ourselves, and we are master at beating ourselves. We either blame others or we bury it. We are just kind of blaming ourselves, and you know, it is different than taking responsibility, but we just kind of want to break ourselves down and really make us feel really bad and, you know, stupid or lousy or whatever, worthless, and I'm worthless person, and all those kinds of things we just keep telling ourselves. We try to pay for our own regrets in that way by beating ourselves, by breaking us down. It is very different than taking responsibility. We kind of hurt ourselves intentionally. We do not know that we are hurting ourselves, but that is what we are doing. And more we hurt ourselves, we kind of look at people and say, oh, look at how much I'm hurting because of all these regrets that I have. And more I hurt myself and then try to get sympathy. And more sympathy we get, more hurtful things that we do to ourselves. You know, the ultimate result of the ultimate result of this self-punishment is, you know, it can get into the suicide. And people kill themselves over that. They go to that extreme place where they kill themselves, they want to destroy themselves within their soul, that they come to the place of literally ending their life, which is never good, because God is the only one who gives life, and God is the only one who takes life in a natural course of our life. And that is how it works. We do not have right to interrupt our own life, which God has given to us. And so when we start beating ourselves with that, it is just not good. Sometimes it can go, and no wonder there are high school students, there are college students who find themselves into that place because they have no way out. Our culture, our society has not done enough to kind of come and support people when they are in that place and have not shown the way how to deal with our regrets. Millions and millions of people, they punish themselves. They think that, man, if I punish myself, if I you know, if I really break my spirit and make me feel really, really bad about these things, somehow my regrets will be taken care of. Somehow I will pay for that. And you know, another problem with the self-punishment and breaking yourself down, beating yourself down, is we can get into this cycle of sensitive consciousness. In our sensitive consciousness, we get into this cycle in our mind, and we just kind of keep trying to pay for something that has happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, and we keep breaking ourselves in our mind. Keep breaking ourselves. Keep you know, punishing ourselves, and our mind just kind of goes to the depths of the places. If we are not careful, it'll just kind of go and go and go, and we will find ourselves in the cycle within ourselves, in our mind, in our soul, to keep breaking ourselves. And then once we are stuck in that cycle, we do not know how to break that cycle, and we can find ourselves in a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place, living in the past, and your consciousness to keep beating yourself is not a good way of doing it. But majority of people keep doing that. And this morning, I want to share some tremendous good news to you, that we do not have to live in a regrets. We do not have to live in our past. Doesn't matter how bad the things have happened with us, how bad the situations were in our life, how bad, you know, we were and we responded to things, or the kind of things that we have done, and we are not very proud of some of the things that we have done in our lives. We do not have to live in that. God has a way for all of us to release that regret from our life. We do not have to live in the bondage of regret in our life. Life hurts, but God has a power to bring healing in our life. He absolutely has a power to bring healing in our life. And so let him do the work to begin with. You know, accept his love in our life, as we talked about in last week. You know, what humanity can do, God can do amazing things that we can never do as a human being. We can try our methods. We can pick up the book, you know, self-help book on the shelf at the airport or a bookstore. It is not going to help you to deal with our regrets and the bondage that we are suffering inside and generating that lot of pain inside us. There is no solution that any human can bring about. Doesn't matter who that person is. There is no pastor who can bring about the solution for that. There is no human being, doesn't matter how famous that person is, they cannot bring about that solution. Only God can bring about that solution. And so we want to kind of talk about that a little bit, what we ought to do with our regrets. So we know what we usually do, but this is what we ought to do. The Bible makes it very clear. It is very practical. God, you know, God never meant for you to live under the heavy load of guilt of those regrets in your life and what happened in your history, in your past, about what you have done in your past and all that. And this morning, let's start focusing on how we should approach our regrets. You know, three simple things. They may sound very simple, but they are very profound things that we will learn, and they are in your outline. The first thing is, admit it. Don't try to blame that to somebody. Don't try to bury it. Don't try to self-punish yourself about what has happened, but just admit it, that this is what has happened. You know, simply admit it. You simply admit your sin, your wrongdoing, your messy situation, whatever it may be that is bothering you from the past. Take that and say, this is the reality, and admit that situation or whatever is bothering you in past. You know, in Psalm 51, verse 3, David learned this. He says, I recognize my fault. He says, I recognize my fault. I am conscious of my sins. And so he says, King David says, that I know these are the things I have done wrong. These are the situations I was found myself, which is wrong, and I recognize them. I admit that this is wrong, and I'm conscious about my sins, my wrongdoings, and I admit it. You know, he admits it, and he acknowledges that, and I make a decision that I am not going to bury those regrets anymore. These are my regrets. I'm just kind of going to be open about it, and this is what it is within myself. If you want to share with somebody, that is okay, who is trustworthy, and this is what it is. In Psalm 32, verse 5, David writes, I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So if we do not take that first step, there is no forgiveness. There is no, you know, justification for that. And so it is important to say those eight words in our life, which are the most difficult words to utter from our mouth, that I am sorry. It is my fault. Please forgive me. I am sorry. It is my fault. Please forgive me. We have to accept the reality in our life and say, this is the mess that I created. This is the mess that I found myself. I am sorry, and I am at fault, and please forgive me, God. When we accept that, things start to happen. You know, you can say, God, I blew it. I am sorry. You know, many times the most difficult this is the most difficult phrase to kind of use and say it out loud to God, and maybe to some other people too, because we have a lot of pride within ourselves. We are filled with pride. We want to kind of deal with our issues all by ourselves and just kind of bring about the solution all by ourselves, and we do not want to take help from God. And we are struggling with pride. Because of that, it is very difficult for us to kind of do that. And you say sorry to God about all what has done, and next morning you go to God in the morning when you're praying, or afternoon or evening, whenever you pray. And you go to God and say, God, but what happened about that past thing? Those two or three, they were pretty big things. I still want to talk to you about that. And God says, what sins? He has forgotten about that. He says, I do not know what you're talking about. And the problem with us is we ask for forgiveness to God. And we admit it. And we ask, and then we do not let it go. And we still want to bring it back. And many times God forgives us. And he says, it is all done. It is wiped out. You know, the example comes to my mind. When my kids were growing up, we used to get them those tablets where you could draw. You know, it was a plastic thing, and there were special pens, and you would draw the drawing, or you could write things. And if you make a mistake, there was kind of there was that knob, you just kind of slide it over, and it'll just kind of wipe it clean. You know, whatever mistakes you have made, it would wipe it clean. And that's how God does. The things that, all the mess ups that we have done in our life, we want to bring them again and again. And God says, I have wiped it clean. I don't even remember. I don't even see that in your life. It is gone. And we want to kind of bring that back again and again in our life. You know, this is the place many times we live. We ask for forgiveness. God forgives us, but we do not want to accept that forgiveness in our life. We think, man, this is a very big deal. God is going to take maybe 5 years to forgive this. When we come to the place, when we admit it, he has forgiven that. So just do that, you know. So that's the second thing, that accept God's forgiveness. Accept God's forgiveness in our life. Many times we have done that, and we have not accepted that. You know, here is the wonderful news from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. From the Message, I will read this. Those who enter into Christ no longer have to live under the continuous low-laying black cloud. Low-laying black cloud. Sometimes we feel that way. And the Message is very simple language. That's how it is. You know, we don't have to live in that. A new power is in operation. It is the power of the resurrected Christ. The Spirit of the life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air and freeing you from everything that is there. You know, the translation of Romans chapter 8, 1 is this. There is now no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus. He is not going to bring up those things back again and again. We did the eternity series, right? In a few months ago, you know, October, November. And we kind of, you know, kind of did the dramatization of that, you know, people facing facing God himself on that day of judgment. And then God is kind of bringing all their life story in front of them, that these are the good things you have done, these are the bad things you have done, and all that kind of things he will bring up. You know, friends, you know what? When you ask for forgiveness, he has forgotten that. When you face that judgment on that day, that thing is not there. It is deleted. It is gone. It is forgiven. And that is what it is. God is not about holding yourself accountable for what is forgiven in your life. So accept that forgiven. It is called justification, that he has justified that. He has, you know, there is no facing consequences for that anymore because God has forgiven that. Romans 8:1, let me read that again, that it is erased. There is now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. So let's accept that forgiveness in our life. He has forgiven you. When are you going to accept that? So you do not have to go back again and deal with those regrets. They're gone. They're gone. There is no point about thinking and killing yourself over that and regretting over and over again. It is not needed. Move forward. And so this is how you deal with our regrets. You know, to forgive yourself and focus on the future. God has forgiven you if you have asked for forgiveness. Now learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself and focus on the future. Don't dwell in the past. You know, no need to bury it, admit it. You know, let God forgive it and then forgive yourself and focus on very difficult thing many times many people have, forgiving yourself. Already God has forgiven you for the things that you have done. And many times we are so hard upon ourselves that we are not ready to forgive ourselves, for we keep going back and staying there in the past, and we sometimes love to kind of stay there. We are in the present, but our mind is in the past, and we just dwell in there and we want to keep staying there. You know, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, here the Lord says, forget the former things. You know, forgive yourselves. And he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing new things in your life. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? I am making a way for you in the desert. I will make a path. Don't keep focusing on the past. Don't live in the past again and again. And God is saying, don't live there. I'm doing the new things. Can you not see those new things? Many times we cannot see those new things because we are stuck in our mind, in our soul, in the past. And God has forgiven those things. And he says, I want to do amazing things in your life. I want to do, better things in your life. And we have put the blinders on our eyes because we have planted ourselves in the past. And God is already doing the new things, the brand new things in our life. But our mind is kind of tied up there still. And we do not want to let that thing go. God has forgiven those things. God has erased those things. It is all done. Now God is saying, move forward. I'm doing beautiful things in your life. I'm doing amazing things in your life. Just embrace those things in your life. Enjoy the life that I have placed before you. And I am doing these great things in your life. That is what God is saying. But we want to embrace those things in our life. You know, Proverbs 24:16, God says, though a righteous person falls 7 times, they rise again. Maybe our mind will keep going back. Ask God, oh God, I don't want to go back there. I want to embrace the new things that you have created in my life. Let me enjoy those things. Let my mind be engaged in those new things that you are doing, oh Father God. And I want to commit to the new thing, to my future. I want to create new memories. I want to create my new life that you have offered me. And that is where I want to live my life free and blameless with you. And that is the prayer that we should have. You know, Isaiah 61:3 says, I can boast on those I can bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes. I can restore the years that locusts have eaten. You know, those moths, those things that have eaten up some of your past and messed up your past. And he says, I will restore all that. I will, you know, bestow the crown of beauty upon your life. And that is what God wants to do for your life. You know, the God is amazing God. He wants to do amazing things in your life. And he wants to forgive everything totally. God wants to forgive everything totally in your life. Come, let us reason together. He says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And he wants to talk to you. And he wants to say, you know, this is what has happened. Let's reason together. If, you know, and he wants to help us to move forward. God wants to not rub it in, but, you know, rub it out, but not rub it in our life. And God not only forgives, he forgets totally. And that's how God deals with our regrets in our life. He's an amazing God. He wants to do the new things in your life. So the question today is this. Are you stuck in your regrets? Maybe some of the regrets that you have that you are not even involved in those things. Many times we imagine certain things in our life. And that can happen. And we kill ourselves over that. And we destroy our beautiful life that is in present in front of us right now. And what God wants to do in our future. And he wants to take us somewhere. But we just want to hold on to sometimes imaginary things in past. And just want to live there. And God says, let it go. Let it go. You know, just forget about that. It is gone. You have no control over that. Forget about that. Live your life, what the beautiful life that I have given to you. Don't make the same mistakes and see the new things I'm doing for your life. God is amazing, God. You know, he died for us on the cross. He loved us so much, John 3:16, that he loved us so much that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. He wants to do amazing things in your life. And he's a living God today. So some of us probably are processing this thought about regrets, about some of the past things that are bothering us. Give it to God. He has forgiven them. He wants to free you from all that. And he wants to take you forward. Don't mess up. And don't not enjoy. You know, let's enjoy our life. What God is doing right now and what is God is going to about to do in your life. Don't mess that thing up because of your past. Whether real, imaginary, or whatever it is. Let God do amazing things. God is good. And he wants to do great things in your life. Let's bow our heads today. And if you are really facing the things in your life which are really bothering you because of your past, the regrets and any mess ups that has happened, or you think that your past was messed up and it just keeps bothering me, God wants to free you from all that. Will you admit it? And give it to God? Will you accept God's forgiveness in your life? Will you accept that freedom that he is offering you right now and say, God, I want to embrace that freedom into my soul, into my mind right now. And I want to just forget it, whatever has happened. I don't want to dwell in that negativity in my life. So help me, God. If there is somebody who wants to pray today, just we will pray for you. If you want to talk about this more, just come and seek and talk to me or Pastor Matthew, Pastor Vandana, or some of the folks here about this. And let's move forward in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you, we give you thanks, O God, for who you are. You're a God who is a God of freedom. You really want to give us a life that is free of all that guilt, all that regrets. You want to do amazing things in present life, in our life, O God. And O Father, help us to embrace those things right now. There are some great things you have lined up for us in the future. Help us to embrace those things, O God. We do not want to live in the past, in that negativity, in that mess, O Father. Help us, O God, to free ourselves with your grace as we surrender ourselves to you today, O Father God. We praise you, we give you thanks, O Father. We do not want to live in that pain, that agony, because you are a God who loves us so much and you want to free us from all that. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
Sing of your love forever.